Welcome to a Words, Beats, and Life podcast. This episode features the Alternative Spring Break series.
Welcome back to the Alternative Spring Break. I am Greg Corbin, and this is the Philly Session. And today, we have none other than entrepreneur, storyteller, artist, business owner, and founder of Harriet's Bookshop and Ida's Bookshop as well,
yeah, absolutely.
Janine Cook. So it's great to be on camera with you. It's great to have this conversation.
Yeah.
I'm an admirer of your work for many different reasons. Of course, we have our own friendship as well for years. And what you have done has truly been a blessing. And it's incredible to watch manifest and evolve.
Thank you, Greg.
I'm amazed at some of the things you've been able to pull off. I really am. Like, seriously. You're going to catch all these flowers. It is going to bloom through this whole conversation.
I was like, ooh, okay.
It's going to bloom through this whole conversation.
I appreciate
all the flowers, all right?
I appreciate it. And I need to practice taking it in. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's something we all have to learn.
Yeah.
Right? And it's like, how do I receive joy?
Yeah.
Receive honor.
Yeah.
You know,
It's awkward. I was just like, I'm just doing my job, you know. Mm-hmm. But I need the time to reflect on it. So yeah. I appreciate that.
Yeah. So tell us, who is Janine Cook?
Whew, that's a good one. So Janine is my name, right? Mm-hmm. I'm named for my aunt. And so that's important because it's a name that is passed down. I'm the middle daughter of James Cook and Celia Cook, and we can trace it, you know, we can keep going back. And so somebody was like, you know, we get to start having conversations where we name our lineage and we give thanks for Maggie Mae Cook and we give thanks for James Cook and we give thanks for, you know, Arthur Dunbar. And we're like really just going down the line of the people who make this moment possible, just from a biological standpoint. And so I'm the child of many. I'm a child of all of that. I'm also a writer, and a reader. And like, so they would ask Toni Morrison, like, oh, you doing this? You editing for Random House? You writing all these books? You doing? And she was like, really? I'm just a book person. And I think that's similar, right? Like, all of it comes back to stories in some way or another, whether that's curriculum development, whether that's writing books, whether that's the children's book, whether that's, you know, speaking, whether that's opening a bookshop, right? It really is a part of being a part of a tradition of griots, a tradition of storytellers, a tradition of people who understand that, like, the story is a technology, that it's the medium by which we travel through time.
Wow, story as a technology. Quote, story as technology.
I think that's my sister. She might have told me that. So I want, just in case, we like to, you know, Twitter.
Shout out
one
to
person.
Jazz.
Yeah, Jazzy, right? Yeah, it was just like, you know, twin flames. In
I know.
Life.
But story as a technology, can you elaborate?
Like, I mean, I think it's like story becomes this medium, right? Like, how is it that you're able to have conversations? We're able to have conversations with Frederick Douglass because he left us his words. Right. We're able to sit with him and like hear his voice. Right. Like that's time travel in many ways. Right.
Yeah.
How is it that you're able to see countries you've never been to? Because, that's time travel. That's omnipresence. That's all of these things that we attribute to God. Many of us attribute to God. But it's, you know, why do they say that in the biblical sense? Why do they say in the beginning was the Word and the Word was with God and the Word was God? Why? Oh, because this is this thing that's much larger than I think we've been, you know, that's a book. Nah, it's actually a pretty significant piece of, you know, she calls it, I think, technology. You could call it, call it what you want to call it.
Right.
You know,
right.
You've had the experience. Yeah.
And like, thinking about story as technology and being in your bookshop, as I look around, I know from conversations with you and from watching you talk that we're in a book.
Yes.
And like, that's such a creative way to look at creating a bookshop. It's not like walking into some mainstream shop where there's just books and coffee.
Yeah.
Where did that inspiration come from?
It's so funny. So this project, the bookshop changes. This project was created by probably about 16 different artists.
Okay.
from the floors. Like, somebody had to design the floors. Mm-hmm. Somebody had to print the floors. Somebody had to install the floors. Somebody had to do the walls. Somebody had to do the furniture. You know, like, it's a very layered project. And so it's definitely a collaboration. And that's what I'm really interested in, is like what happens when we really mm-hmm. start like bringing our minds together on like central focuses. Mm-hmm. And so I'm interested in that concept. I've always wanted to make sure that the shop was always this changing experience. I knew that it was like a gallery meets a bookstore meets a monument to Harriet. And so what does that mean? And that just keeps changing in my own mind.
Yeah.
And then if I read something and I feel inspired, so this particular design is inspired by the 1619 Project, which is a book that sits at the center of a lot of controversy in our current society. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, as opposed to running from that controversy, let's have these conversations. Like, what is it that's making it controversial, right? What is it about this book that make people want to ban it versus like opening it? You know, like, what is that? Yeah. Why is this book sitting at such an interesting crux? And like, let the bookshop be a space for those dialogues.
Right.
And so the space is all of those things. It's paying homage to these four mothers.
Mm. And who are the four mothers?
So there's four mothers. I would say that the four mothers of this bookshop are Zora Neale Hurston, Octavia E. Butler, Alice Walker, and Toni Morrison. Yeah. And so you'll see them. They're all, it's lots of clues. They're all like embedded in the space in different ways.
The way you are culturally in tune and aligned, right, with the story is a technology piece and how we're in this lineage of conversation.
Mm-hmm.
That continues to persist and evolve is really, really an insightful look at developing a space.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Because there's the biological piece. You named your lineage. You named what psychologists would call a genogram, right? Mm. And who those people are. But there's these your family tree, so to speak.
Yeah.
But then there's a spiritual.
Then I come from a literary.
Tree.
Yeah, I'm part of a literary tradition for sure. Yeah.
And what does it look like? What does it feel like to build on a literary family tree and tradition?
That's why sometimes when you're saying, oh, you did this, and I'm like, I didn't, you know, I'm just doing the job. I'm just doing the job that was given to me. But it often feels otherworldly.
Yeah.
Many things unfold that I'm just like, wow, how did that happen that way? You know, even down to the fact that we have a space, it's like, you know, people were telling me no a lot. You know, people were telling me no a lot. And like we were saying earlier, like what they were really saying were like, not right now. Or like you said to me, you know, they were protecting me and making sure that I made it to the space where we belong.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel guided and I feel protected.
That's powerful.
Yeah.
That's really
absolutely
powerful.
Absolutely.
And Harriet Tubman, like it could have been Sojourner Truth. It could have been Ella Baker.
Yeah. And it will be.
Speak on it.
It will be.
Why Harriet Tubman as the origin story for the string of bookshops that you're opening now?
Harriet and I have been in conversation, I think, probably since I was 8 or 9.
Wow.
And so it's the voice I'm most familiar with, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
It's who I started, like, I started this investigation and this, like, intentional. I was, you know, my book is called Conversations with Harriet. Like, I've been having these conversations with this person for some time. And so I couldn't think of anyone who I would want to honor more. Who I felt like, especially then, right? So you got to remember, like, 3 years have gone by. But back then, it wasn't super popular to say, like, I'm going to create a space that honors somebody who I believe deserves to be honored and hasn't been honored correctly by the society. And I don't even want y'all to have nothing to do with it. I want it to be independent so that we could do it how we know it needs to be done and without somebody else's foot on the neck of it. And so that's the origins of, like, creating a space for somebody who I know didn't get the flowers. You talk about flowers, right? Like, Frederick Douglass talks about Harriet and how she walked by the light of the moon. So her work was he was out, he was talking, he was getting praise, he was taking photos, he was attending events, he got to get dressed up. No, this is at the same time that Harriet is like, all right, it's winter time, you know, I'm about to take another trek down. I gotta make sure people don't know who I am, can't identify my face, I gotta make sure, you know, I'm moving through the cold, right? You know how cold it was that other night.
right? Like, imagine, right? And like, and I don't know who I'm bringing back out with me, what their issues are gonna be. This is a person who, in Frederick Douglass in his time, was just like, that, she moves by the light of the moon. She's, no one is singing her praises right now. Yeah. Like, we can't even let people find out which, who she is and what she's doing. Mm-hmm. And so I find it to be a great honor to even be able to sit with Harriet and be able to say her name at all. Not to mention be able to like share her with people. And you know, there's this whole thing. And I told my sister yesterday, I was like, never again in front of me am I going to let somebody like demean or diminish Harriet Tubman or Rosa Parks or Dr. King or any of these names that have been said a lot, so-called a lot. Because I don't care how many times people say that, say a name. If you don't know nothing about that person, if you really haven't got to and sit with them, yeah. It doesn't matter how many times their name gets yeah. mentioned, right? You could talk about Mrs. Rosa Parks all you want. If you don't really have a relationship with what it was and who she was, like, you know Rosa Parks is a militant? No. Mm-hmm. Nobody's talking about Mrs. Rosa Parks as a militant. Mm-hmm. Why? Because that, you know what I mean? And then they try to be like, oh, we're so tired of hearing about Rosa Parks. You haven't even met her yet.
Yeah, yeah.
You haven't even met her yet.
Mm.
Maybe.
Well, I think as deep as we're speaking in a conversation that is in some ways multidimensional, even the way we're talking about Harriet Tubman, mm. right? Like you said, that's the conversation you're familiar with most, mm. right? And some of that's from yeah. reading, some of that's from spiritual downloads.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Right? These things really do exist.
Yeah.
But on a physical plane,
yeah.
building something up and really enacting it and getting it into something that is established, what is one of the biggest challenges that you had, to overcome in this process of creating this business of a bookshop?
Yeah, my own internal voices about my own ineptitude, mm. right? And so it's while also hearing these, you see, I got this, that line in a poem and it says, you hear those whispers, those are the ancient voices speaking mm. life into our left ear and singing songs into our spiritual mind. And it's like, you know, so there's this whole, like being able to like differentiate, because there are some voices inside, you know, that are like, oh, you're not, who are you to have a bookstore? You can't even, you read slow. Who are you to have a bookstore? You haven't read everything. Mm-hmm. I know people who read way more books than you. I know people who are way smarter than you. I know people who, you know, they speak way more eloquently than you. And that's not nobody outside saying that. That's like internal yeah. voices that I have to like manage and yeah. say like, oh, I know that. I know that voice. That voice that tries to come and yeah. say, you ain't good enough, or you don't know something, or right. you don't look the part. Like that's, you know,
yeah.
but getting used to telling that voice, you don't reign supreme in this space.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that voice could do a number. I remember right before I opened, I was just like the night before, I took all the books down. I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what I'm doing. I can't do this. Oh, wow. And it's just like, yo, that battle, that internal struggle is real. And then it was just like, now I have to build back up my confidence and the knowledge that this is not even about you. This is not just about you. You know, like get, first of all, right? Like
yeah, yeah.
check your ego real quick.
Yeah.
You know, you're a part of the spectrum of freedom. So don't forget that there's a lot of people who came before you that made this moment possible. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of people who are going to come after you who are needing you to fulfill your peace.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not just Janine. That's all of us, you know.
Yeah. And the idea that right before you're about to launch this,
yeah, yeah.
you almost took out your own flame.
Shh. And then 1,000 people came the next day and like the bookshop was alive all day long with mm-hmm. amazing energy and like...
Mm.
To the point where I had to stand outside because it was just too many people inside. Like, we needed to make space.
You've had some remarkable moments,
yo,
right?
Like
where...
like you wouldn't believe.
I mean, to the young people, to yeah. the stakeholders, to whoever watches this video, I want you to understand Janine is one of those people who can imagine something and things actually do come to pass.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, I think, and that's, when we say magic,
yeah.
that's magic. Like,
yeah.
to be that creative. And, I mean, I've seen you walk around Philly in costumes with your sister,
yeah.
ready to perform, or ready to put on something on display.
Yeah.
And, like, how...
we were channeling people from another time. And wow. Like, and we call it revisionist history in some ways. Like we are interested in, like, how do you make right the wrongs?
Right.
Of history. Mm. How? Right?
Yeah,
like how?
Yeah.
And in some ways you just have to address the people who have been wronged.
Yeah.
And then make a decision about, like, okay, and these are the things that we want to do to commit to making sure, like, your legacy is solid. Yeah.
And some of the cool things you've had many people come through here. Yeah. I believe Will Smith, he
yes.
launched his book,
yeah.
came to
yeah.
Harriet's Bookshop. Mm-hmm. Told people to come visit the store.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah, and even with Will Smith and his people, Will Smith was amazing. But his people was like, oh, you're going to stand over there. You're going to do this. You're going to do that. And I was just like, whoa. Just remember, like, what's the name of this bookshop? Harriet's Bookshop. Exactly. Harriet's Bookshop. So Harriet is going to sit at the center of this conversation. Mm-hmm. All the other stuff is nice. Will Smith is amazing. He's done an amazing amount of work. Mm-hmm. He wrote a great book. This bookshop is dedicated to Harriet, and mm-hmm. we're gonna make sure that doesn't get lost.
Yes.
And we all have to agree on that before we can move forward. And they, of course, agreed, because it was mm-hmm. just like, well, then why would you pick this bookshop yeah. if you didn't know what it stood for? Mm-hmm. And you know, you do know what it stands for. Yeah. And it's just my job as the shopkeeper when we get off track to remind people, like, no, this bookshop, we're doing, Will Smith is here because he is also a part of this opportunity to lift up the work and the spirit of Harriet Tubman. It's not the other way around. It's like,
right.
Yeah.
She's a pillar.
Yeah.
For all of us. To show us what's possible.
Right. Yeah. I mean, and humanity needs the spirit that Harriet Tubman mm-hmm. possesses.
Yeah.
You know, we need that in this moment, especially as as we see our freedoms get trampled on. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. there's not many people. Yeah. who have that same spirit that she had, where she was like, nah, it's either you give me my liberty or you give me death.
Yeah.
I will die for this. Yeah. There's not, you look around, there's not many people with that.
It, there was no negotiation.
No.
There was no idea of creating cognitive dissonance.
No. Right. And it was like, and it's not just about me. Like, that's the other thing. That's the big Harriet, that piece of her attracts me a lot. It's mm-hmm. just like, yo, you got out. You yeah. got out. You was yeah. good. What is it in a person that says, I'm good, but I'm still not good if my people not good,
yeah.
right? Like when they say that line, I think Jay-Z says it, right, around here we measure success by who's successful next to you. That's a different way of thinking about what success looks like mm-hmm. in a city. That's a different way of thinking. Harriet's could do great, but Harriet's isn't doing great if Amalgam is closing. Harriet's isn't
right,
doing great
right,
if Marsha
right.
Maine is closing.
Right,
Harriet's
right.
isn't doing great if, you know what I mean? Like
yeah.
that's not great.
Yeah.
That's not great.
The ecosystem.
It's the ecosystem.
Oh,
and
yeah.
we, you know, that's my sisterhood. How do I feel and look if my sisters can't stand and I'm standing? Nah. Mm. No, we stand together. And it was Harriet's sister, I believe, that kept her going back. Right? It was like, I gotta get my sister. Yes, I'm gonna get these other people. I'm gonna support these other people, but I gotta get my sister.
Mm-hmm. You, in a previous world, let's just call it a world of experience,
like
you were a grant writer and a fundraising
yeah.
professional
yes.
with the school district.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
How do those skills
yeah.
transfer over, translate into you building this bookshop, becoming a shopkeeper? I believe y'all even launched a campaign to own this building.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How do those skills translate into where we are now?
I think that with the continuous thread is I'm a storyteller. And so what I was doing with the school district was I was helping to tell the stories of the schools, of the children, of the teachers, of the, you know, like the really important stories that are happening in the district. And I was helping people to understand why those people, the people, not the district, the people really need the resources that they were asking for.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm just still doing that. But before that, we knew each other because I was doing curriculum development, which is still storytelling,
yeah.
right? It's still me supporting a teacher or an a facilitator with, like, here's how you break this information down in such a way where people can remember it and retain it and use it in their lives moving forward, which is just storytelling. Yeah. Before that, I was a teacher in a classroom, right? And so same difference. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, yeah. My students, they so funny. Like, I was telling them, I was like, y'all remember I used to stand up on the tables and I used to be all hype, like, you know, this is what you did, you know, this is how I would teach classes. I get so excited about the information, you know, like, they'd be like, what you doing? They call me Jonene. They're like, yo, she gets so Joe about the information.
It's such a filthy thing. You Joe. Why are you so Joe about
so
knowledge?
You're so Joe, right? Like, she's on the table, but it was true. I was, you know, I was excited about the story.
What was the process like to do a GoFundMe campaign to own this building? Like, when did you know it was going to be the next step?
So that's another Harriet conversation. I was... like, I sit in silence. I don't know about other people. I encourage silence. I encourage you to get as much of it into your life as you can. And because in that silence is when I can hear. And it was just one of those sessions where I was just like, came out of it. And I was like, oh, we got to get ourselves into a position. Okay, we opened the bookshop. 6 weeks later, we're told we have to close it because of the pandemic.
Yeah.
And... like, that whole, this whole process has been, like, this like, real, like, roller coaster of a experience. And so, in that, it was just like, well, there was nothing in place in the society for businesses that were 6 weeks old, right? Like, how are you going to sustain? Like, it was just like, yeah, you can't apply for anything. Your business is a tiny business. It's not even, you know, you can't say that you need these resources, not when all of these other businesses are applying. And so we had to figure it out. Yeah. And this has been an exercise in figuring it out. It's been an exercise in, Sonia Sanchez called me before, I want to just say, Mama Sonia Sanchez called me before I opened that morning. And she was just like, gave me a lot of wisdom. But one of the things she kept telling me was like, you're not doing this by yourself. Right. You cannot do this by yourself and you're not going to do it by yourself.
Right.
And to remember that you're a part of this larger community and like to not ever feel like you have to do any of these pieces by yourself. And so buying the building was a part of that conversation, which is like, yeah, you can do these things and you can do it, but you can't do it by yourself.
Mm-hmm. So only got a couple more questions left. I think I'd be remiss if I didn't ask this because I've been watching.
What?
What's the coolest thing that's happened so far?
Oh, I don't know. It's all cool. I don't know. It's so cool. It's like, I can't really explain. Alice Walker, I will say, is like, that's when I knew. I was just like, okay, we want something different right now. This is different because I promise you, you could look at my phone and my notes. December 31st, every year, I write down, like, what would make this new year an amazing new year? Like, what would make you, like, what would knock your socks off if it happened in this new year? And I wrote down a conversation with Alice Walker. December 31st. By April, I had reached out because I do my due diligence. I was like, okay, I'll reach out to her people. No response. I get a call in April and she says, hey, we were wondering if you want to like facilitate a conversation with Alice Walker. What? What? Are you kidding me? Like, is that even a question on this planet?
Wow. The Alice Walker. Color purple Alice Walker.
Exactly. So that was a part of when, like, you know, you get a call from Sonia Sanchez. You get, you know, you got your, I mean, these living legends, Nikki Finney hit me up. Like, we just want to make sure you know that you have love and support. Like, it's just it'd be like stuff like that where I just be like, what? You know, like, yeah. So that conversation with Alice Walker, and I think what was central about that conversation, because I asked her a lot of things, but one thing that she told me that really stayed with me is that, you know, Jenny, don't forget that love is a generative force. Like, it's a force. So use it, right? Like, use that love. Like, go and get as much of it as you can. Be in as much of it as you can. Like, feel it, use it. Put it to work. That love is for a reason. The other thing she said to me, I was asking her, I said, you know, how can we be better sisters to our sisters? And you know me. You know me, and a part of the reason you know me is because I bring my sisters where I go.
Yes,
you know, like that's a part of my experience. It's since we were little, and I think in many ways, you know, we had a really traumatic childhood, and so we ended up bonding super close. And so I wanted to understand, like, how do I love my sisters in a way that is even more than I love them now? Yeah. And she said, listen to them. Mm. And she was just like, even when they say things you don't want to hear. Yeah. And that. Alice freaking Walker. So coolest probably, yeah. Yeah, probably, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But that's like, we did Vogue magazine and Will Smith and Nicole Hannah Jones. And, you know, it's like, we could just go on and on. MSC, Al Roker. Al Roker was like, Janine Cook, da 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 da. Like, I was like, I can't believe Al Roker saying my thing. It was just like, what? Al Roker. We did a 6-week series with MSNBC. We did, I mean, like, you know, Oprah Winfrey shouted us out. Like, I can't, the list. A group of women who I can't even say their names flew me out to LA to build a pop-up bookshop in their home so that we could do a book club. Right. So it's just bigger than
opportunities
me.
Opportunities are abundant.
It's bigger than me. My cup runneth over, for sure.
Because it's like, yeah. The last question I have, well, let me make sure I get it right. Okay, that's what I thought. We are definitely on the book time. Okay, so what do you know now that you didn't know when you started this journey?
So I definitely know for sure about the power of organizing, and that organizing and activism, protest, doesn't have to look a certain way, that there's no box for it, there's no label, there's no right way to do that work.
Yeah.
So I know that for sure. I know for sure that, you know, there's something bubbling up in our society, and, you know, it's going to require a lot of trust, which has been beat out of the society. But in order for us to get through this next phase of things, it's going to require that we access that and practice it and be examples of it. You know, I know for sure, like, you just can't do any. I'm like Mama. Someone you say, like, you're not doing this alone, like none of it, you know. And so that I can access people, that I can call people, that I can, you know, that when they were, you know, they was wielding bats down the street right here during the uprising, talking about all types of stuff that I can't, you know, even say on camera.
Yeah.
And people from all over the city came and stood in front of this bookshop. People who look like me and people who don't. And they stood right here, and they were like, not here. That will not happen here. You know, at one point when we were like, you know, building the bookshop outside, and people were like, well, what could we do? I couldn't think of what people could do. I said, just bring water. And day after day after day, there would be bottles of water lined up, you know, cartons of water, so anybody could have it. And so, you know, I know about the power of the tongue. I know about the power of the tongue. I know about, you know, trusting your vision.
Yeah.
So yeah, I know some things now.
No, that's really powerful. And now I'm gonna ask you one more question. Yeah. But what's a pro tip that you want to share with the youth?
Yeah. So you'll know this one. But so this pro tip is, I am because you are, and you are because I am. And if you get into what that really means, if you sit with that for a bit, that's gonna break some things open, right? At least for me, it does.
Wise words for the youth. Anything else you would like to share? I'm trying to figure out the right way to end this, because I'm looking at your book, right? Harriet's Bookshop. This book, yeah, that shares your story and your journey. This horse is
real.
We
didn't even talk about the horse.
To the story.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, because they told us we needed social distance. And it was like, okay, well, we still got to get the books out to the people. So
tell everybody if the camera. this question. Why did you walk away? They're going to Google you. Watch this. Please say, in preface, the reason why I rode around on a horse was because all I saw when I saw the picture, I was like, Janine, you did it. Like, you can't outdo somebody who is riding around on a horse saying, take these books, take these books, take these books. Like, what?
Yeah. I mean, where'd
you get a horse from?
We're like, in the middle of the pandemic, so we had to socially distance, which was a huge issue. If you have to do retail sales, you need to do hand to hand. How are you going to do that and stay separate from people enough that you're not, you know, in danger or endangering? And so I was like, oh, I know, I'll just get a horse. Oh, yeah, I know what I'll do, you know. And so it's just, I don't know how to explain it, you know.
And then you got a horse, though.
Yeah, and then I called the Fletcher Street Riding Club, like, hey, you know, I want to learn how to ride. Like, I need a horse. Like, I need a horse for this work that I'm doing. And they were like, sure. And L Dog, who's a almost 90-year-old elder, taught me how to ride. I got to spend some significant time with L Dog, which is really important and still is. And, yeah. We went out and did it. We did it several times. Yeah.
Rode a horse. So yeah. I think that's the perfect.
And I didn't even know that was a big deal. I just was like, until somebody took a picture and we were like, oh yeah, I'll share it. And it just went bananas.
Well, because you look at the Western movies, there's always some guy on a horse with a satchel and they got guns and a six shooter.
Yeah.
Here you are riding through the streets of Philadelphia, all over the place with books and satchels.
Yeah.
Books in a bag.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're handing out literacy, storyline. Yeah. You're handing out narratives. You're handing out technology.
Yeah.
Like
that. We're a part of a spectrum. And so I'm just doing my part for right now. And you know, it won't last forever, but for right now, you know, so what they say, I'm here for a good time, not a long time.
Oh my gosh. Yo, thank you so much, Janine.
Oh my gosh,
I really appreciate
whatever you know, your work. I know that this is not about you, but it is about you because you stay doing the same thing you're doing right now, which is making sure people have knowledge and access
and
each other. So
I appreciate that.
Yeah. Whatever you ask, I'm here.
Thank you so much. And can you share just with the camera, like, where people can find you? What are y'all working on next?
Yeah.
What's some upcoming things? Like, things that you feel like are, you know, coming down the pipeline that you really want to share. What's the best way to get in touch with you? And what are you working on?
So Harry's Bookshop, you know, we're doing a plethora of things always. And it's a blessing to be able to even do that. So there's Ida's Bookshop, which we built over in South Jersey. Feel free to visit her. It's a whole different design, a whole different book that shop is dedicated to right now. And we're doing a pop-up in Paris this summer for Josephine Baker. So we'll do Josephine's Bookshop in Paris for the summer. And I mean, like, there's just a, you know, if you're interested in what we're doing, like, just jump on the internet, because who knows? It's always something. We're leading conversations over in South Jersey about, you know, breaking open the color purple and using it as almost a religious text. Like, what does that look like? You know, so it's all types of things happening. We do the writer's room with chemists, where we invite poets to work with musicians, and then everybody comes together and talks about their process. So it's like there's lots of things happening.
So cool.
Lots of things happening.
Thank you so much. This has been a blessing.
Yeah.
For
I'm writing a book. I gotta say that. I'm working on my memoir. So hold me accountable. Check on me. Make sure I'm still working on that memoir. But I'm like 3/4 of the way there, so you should see it. Yeah, I'm at 80,000 words. Yes, so I'm almost there. Hold me accountable. Yeah,
it's happening.
Yeah,
it's happening.
It's almost there.
Well, thank you
of course.
This episode of Alternative Spring Break,
absolutely,
the Philly edition, brought to you by Words, Beats, and Life. We have been blessed and inspired by the one and only Janine Cook, founder and owner of Harriet's Bookshop and Ida's Bookshop as well. If you're coming to Philly or you're going to South Jersey, make sure you visit Harriet's Bookshop in Philly, and in South Jersey, Ida's Bookshop. Thank you so much, Janine.
Absolutely.
It is so
Thank
amazing
y'all.
And
Appreciate
brilliant.
It. Thank you.
And
Thank
shining
you.
Your light.
Thank you. Forever. Forever. Thank
Peace.
You.
This podcast was produced by Executive Director Mazi Mutafa. Past episodes can be streamed on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Mixcloud. Words, Beats, and Life podcast are produced through funding from partner grants and in-kind donations from people like you. Visit wblinc.org/donate to make a contribution.